Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Seahawkers Podcast, live and uncatfished, as we react to the Seattle Seahawks' loss to the dirty San Francisco 49ers, 27-7. You know, as lopsided as that last, as the score feels with 27-7, I think I felt all of those points of lopsidedness with the offensive performance by the Seahawks today.
Yeah, it was... We were talking a little before we were getting going. I was like, it's almost like talking to a, you know, a teenager that you know can do better, right? You're like, I'm not mad. Mm-hmm. I'm just disappointed. You know, just in your choices. Like that's what it, you know, it's like there's some choices here that were like the big things. It's like, all right, I'm not mad at you. We're playing a lot of rookies, and boy, oh boy, were there a couple of choices. And we're like, really? That's what we're doing and trying and doing for now. And it stinks to lose by 20 on the road to a division rival, to our biggest rival. Turns out Vegas was right.
Yeah.
You know, which the entire week I'm like, why? Well, once it came, I'm like, why do they have this at +9.5? Like, what do they sense and feel?
I don't know if they could have predicted an injury to the 49ers quarterback, though. See, the most disappointing thing about this game, I think, was the injury to Trey Lance for a couple of different reasons. One, he's a young guy, and yeah. You know, here he has the opportunity to be the leader on the team. And two, you know, selfishly, I'm upset because I feel improved the San Francisco 49ers' chances at going to the Super Bowl this season.
Yeah, the moment it happened, my next tweet was, the 49ers now get to put their better quarterback in, you know, something to that effect. Stinks for the young man and the player and the person, and it bails the Niners out. It makes Lynch and Shanahan look like geniuses.
Right.
Is what it does. Yeah. Right? It absolutely, it's like, okay, you somehow retain Jimmy G, lowered his contract, and now he gets to go be your starter again. It makes our rivals look smart. And in many ways, you can't slice it any other way. You know, you run the ball like the way they were doing with Trey right from the get-go, and you are rolling the dice every single time you do that. Like, I wish no ill will against any NFL quarterback. Quarter four, when it was like Bills Rams, the you know, week one, and Josh Allen's doing like power sweeps, like right up 20. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, so it's, you get hit enough times by really big dudes, and unfortunately, it's the NFL, and it's a brutal sport, you know?
Well, thanks to everyone for tuning in tonight. I'm Brandon Schultz. You can follow me out on Twitter, at SeahawkersPod. Clinton Bonner, you can follow him, at Clinton Bon. Adam, not joining us tonight, Ryan911. Adam is on the road working, so I do not know what his drink count was for this particular game.
Oh, hopefully for his sake, it's either zero, so he could just like, you know, whatever, be sober with this, or like a bajillion, and he could just like go to bed. And with all that, Brandon, like, I mean, yes, there were some challenges throughout this game, right? I mean, people are already talking about like just bum pass interference calls, and like, but we can't throw the flags back at the refs. They're what they are. Like, a guy gets, a cornerback is on a guy underthrows a ball by 10 yards, and it happens every single
time. That was the best play in the Niners playbook tonight, was Jimmy Garoppolo underthrowing his receivers and allowing the Seahawks corners to run into the receivers and pick up those penalties. I mean, it helped set up the final touchdown. It helped set up some of the other scores.
It bled a lot of clock too. Yeah. There were times where, okay, it's 20-7, and it's not like, okay, but 20-7, we got a little bit of momentum, and then they get that third down extension. They get that third down extension. It's like, okay, well, there goes four more minutes. We're not, you know, it's like you see it slip sliding away in this type of game, and that it is what it is. And with all that, you know, we did not score an offensive point, right? But I do want to say too, what did he end up like? 19 for something or other. Like, I mean,
more
really
than that. No, Geno's stat line was 24 of 30 for 197 yards. He had the one interception, which was, you know, kind of a tip pass that's,
yep,
you know, probably a throw that he shouldn't have made. But Geno wasn't necessarily the problem for me. The problem was the offensive line against the 49ers defensive line. They just got beat. And you saw the 49ers are able to do, I think, what Pete Carroll would have liked to do, and that's run the football. Yep. And yeah, when the stat line that I look at that tells the story of the game is Rashad Penny, 6 carries for 15 yards, average of 2.5 yards per carry.
Oof.
We thought that he was going to have a game against the Niners, and they wouldn't let that. And really, if you are an opposing team, this is the blueprint for how to beat this Seahawks offense. And I think that that's where I think that the success or the non-success is where it's going to come from. And the 49ers, with their absolutely dominant front seven, they have the clear advantage.
You nailed it. Like, one of the major things I wrote down, besides like these egregious mistakes that we made, was the first quarter or so, they could run the ball. We never could. Like, it wasn't close, you know? So if you have a Geno led team and Geno's game, and you nailed it, dude, he was not at all the issue. It's not just 24 for 30. Like, he was, you know, at one point he was like 18 for 21, 21 for 25. Like, you know, those are good numbers. Very, very efficient. You have got to compile that or combine that with a sustainable, predictable run game. And if you do not, we're not going to be able to stretch the field. Like, that's not what Geno's game is going to be all about. So it was that was disappointing. Watching the offensive line, again, I think pass protect, I'd say pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, overall, I mean, you got Bosa. Bosa's getting a couple. Sure. He's literally all world. But in general, pretty good pass protection, pockets that he could step up into and make throws. And with that, so little ability to do anything on the ground. And you know what? The Niners are going to be an upper echelon team. That's going to be the case. And what do we got next? Atlanta, then Detroit? Okay. Let's get right there, because we have to.
Our Ryan 911, our live executive producer, coming in, and he's coming in with the 17-17, the double Dave Craigs.
That's awesome, dude. And that might even be an homage. He wished me a happy anniversary on Twitter today.
Yeah.
It was me and my wife's anniversary yesterday, and it was our 17th anniversary. So from Mudbone himself, for the 17 for Dave Craig. Thank you, executive producer Ryan. It was a very nice anniversary day. It was a good weekend too, actually.
We'll give an executive producer nod to the snail as well, coming in at $72.
Wowzers.
Because Abe Lucas is still awesome. Top 10 all time. One, Marcus Dufant, Robbie Tobeck. Autocorrect got you there, snail. Abe Lucas 3, Cortez 4. Ooh, you got Abe up top here on your top 10 list. And yeah, that's Walter Jones, Steve Largent, easily Cam Chancellor, Sean Alexander, Michael Bumpus. Don't fact check in no particular order. Abe Lucas, we could talk about him because he was a big part of one particular play. The nice little trick play downfield to DK Metcalf. And you had Abe Lucas get called for the penalty, rightly so, because he was too far downfield. Abe Lucas trying to make pancakes when he didn't need to be making pancakes.
Right. The batter was stirred. Now, the thing was, I didn't see it because, like, they called it. And then the replay they showed, I always love that stuff. It's like, I know it's on the fly. I get all that. But you have, like, the best production crews in the world. Like, you know, there's a camera on that guy or on that side of the field. But they showed the play roll out left, and it just didn't show Lucas, like, actually, how far downfield did he get? Was he a half a yard over? Was he 5 yards over? Was it ticky-tacky? You know, I didn't see. They called it. It is what it is. DK made maybe something positive. Yes, you know, our wide receivers, Lockett had a nice game. And yes, DK's not putting up, you know, all world numbers yet. He's catching everything thrown to him. Any contested balls, you know, backside balls, things where he's got to get his hands out there. You know, yes, he's going to drop some as the year goes on, but so far he's been really good. So
More throws, DK's way, please.
Yeah, yeah, more towards DK, right? And you know, and Lockett did what Lockett does, right? Without the ability to kind of burn over the top this year, which we might not see all but maybe a few times, you could still see that Lockett is still super highly effective, right? He gets open, sits down, catches, doesn't drop anything, right? Doesn't take big hits. Just he knows he's a very good wide receiver. So 1-1, still okay. You just don't like the way we lost this one in particular. And Brandon, we didn't talk about some of these major gaffes yet. So
I know we just started the show, and this, you know, it's going to take a while if we go into all of them. Thanks once again to the Snail. Says, been freeloading since I started the pod. I hate Facebook and Patreon. And yes, however you wish to support, we appreciate it. Thanks That's to the cool. Snail for coming in. Also, go Kooks, 3-0 Wazoo.
I love it. I love the a little $2 extra for the Go Cougs. And why not? I'm an East Coast guy. I went to UConn, University of Connecticut, so I have no affiliation to the Cougs or UW. All I know is, what's the guy's name? Penix? UW, right? The new, is that how you say his name?
Idea.
The new quarterback? Oh, dude, the new like UW quarterback that's like off the chains, killing it. Like it's like Penix Jr. It's like P-E-N-I-X. So yeah, so you'll see it because you can't miss it. So.
Sojin coming in. Broncos win. Cowgirls win. Rams win. WTF, this blows. And also, yeah. Chris pointing out the Cards are on the goal line right now, too. So, Hey, look, everything went our way last week. I think right. We can take this week as good as everything was. Hey, maybe last week was our Super Bowl, and we can talk about that still. But we do have a lot to talk about with this game. And yes, as everything went right. And I did peek over at the Broncos game a little bit at halftime.
Me too.
At the perfect time to hear some boos rain down on the field as the Broncos offense was completely inept. And I think Russ was 3 of 13 at that point in the game. But yeah, I enjoyed that a little bit. I mean, classless fans. I mean, why would you boo your quarterback like that?
Yes, we're so classless. Meanwhile, the Browns fans, what a bunch of charmers from the stuff you might be seeing on Twitter with them, right? So, and I could see that, the Snail is saying it's Penix. Oh. So for now on, I won't call the guy Penix because that's probably wrong. You know, given my last name, I should know better, right? That's been abused true. Throughout my life.
No, really?
you don't say? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What else do we want to talk about as issues with this game? Because, okay, well, the 49ers able to run the ball pretty well at will against the Seahawks defensive line. We saw Debo have a couple breakouts. We saw Jeff Wilson have a pretty good day, almost averaging 5 yards per carry. So, yeah, I'd say that's a good day. 18 of 84. Yeah. Debo was 4 for 53. Trey Lance, 3 of 13 before he went down. So really, again, in the trenches, this game, this team got beat up front.
They did, but it also got a lot better as the game wore on. It much, much better. Now, is that a consequence of it raining a bit more or just knowing they're going to run the ball more and you can stack the box? Maybe it might be those things because the first quarter and a half wasn't good. However, as the game wore on, Taylor got much, much more sound in run defense. Mafe had some good plays in run defense. Nuosu was, once again, he's the best player on the team right now, like on defense right now. It's not particularly close. Like, he is an absolute standout. Looks like a fantastic signing. The thing that bugs me, and that's the run defense. Like, it got better. The thing that I think is, like, besides our inability to run the ball, I think our biggest, like, scarlet letter right now is our pass rush wasn't there.
Right.
It was very ineffectual. And Jimmy G is the perfect QB that if you can get to him, get a little bit of pressure, especially up the middle, get in his face, he is good for that one bad pick a game. And we did not do that. It'd be third and long, second and long. And it wasn't like he had all day, but he had plenty of time. And even on some of the third downs where they missed, there was a nice out to Ayuk along the sideline. Ayuk dropped it.
Yeah.
Like, he had time, beautiful pass. So we have got to do more to originate pass rush, and we're not yet. And a bugaboo for me is, I'm not sure it would help that much, but I think it might, is that we see a healthy Miles Adams scratched again. Miles Adams is one of the people that can generate pass rush. So it's a big miss. We don't have it yet. We need it. We absolutely need that. And we're going to struggle without that throughout the year. So can we get Miles Adams as a two-time healthy scratch back in game three? I sure hope so.
I guess the part of the trouble with that is that how do you manage that particular rotation? But Shelby Harris went down in this game, so it would have been handy to have Miles as someone who could come in and help support those interior defenders. You saw Monet out there making some plays.
He played pretty well.
Yeah. You saw Al Woods making several plays.
He was good. He was very good, right? So, you know, I hate to say, like, we're not seeing a lot from Puna right now. He's kind of just getting a little bit lost in the shuffle. Now, that just might be he's playing really sound. He's okay. And again, with that, I just want to lean into like a little bit more pass rush and Adams has shown he can do that. So, and of course it's got, I mean, Nwosu again was there. Like he was there early in the game, big hits. He licked Trey Lance once. And then on Jimmy G's very first play, it was like a third down where they settle for a field goal there too. He licked him on a 3rd and 6, like, you know, as soon as he released the ball. So there was some okay stuff across the board. And I think we got this, Jeremy chiming in with the $1.99 super chat. Thank you. How many times did Bosa go completely unblocked? I saw at least one, right? That like it was the first play to start the third quarter.
Yeah. Some of those were
have to figure that out.
Designed plays, because I'm thinking of the screen that went out to Disley that Greenlaw covered up pretty well. So they did have a couple plays where that was part of the play design, but
yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. He got 2 sacks on the day. And again, I feel like what we saw from Bosa was about as, you know, I would have taken that if you would have said, okay, he'll have 2 sacks and he'll affect several plays.
You just have to expect that with
a guy like that.
Exactly. He has 2 sacks and one was a free run. Okay. That's a mistake. And then again, to lead out from the third quarter with that play is like, woof, right? You literally had a whole half and you come out and like, yeah, you know, it's like a free release for Nick Bosa. Like, could have done better there.
Yeah. I wonder why Parkinson, you know, couldn't have at least, you know, tried to
chip,
make an attempt at putting a hand to slow him down in that particular case.
100%. I agree. And, you know, and who knows, like maybe there's a hot route that's supposed to be there that it's supposed to be red. I don't know. All I know is Bosa was on him and, you know, just way too quickly. And overall, it wasn't like Bosa destroyed the game. Yeah. He had his 2 sacks, but it wasn't like, holy crap. I would actually say Nwosu was more disruptive globally, if you will, than Bosa was throughout the game. I know what the stats say from a sack, you know, standard, but Nwosu was more everywhere, you know, passes batted down, more getting the quarterback off of his spot more often, setting the edge, making tackles for losses. I thought he played a really, really good game.
And again, you know who destroyed this game? You know who destroyed the game, Clinton?
This is what I'm saying. The 800-pound gorilla in the room. I think it's on the screen now, right?
DJ Dallas got Q and R mixed up. Definitely not a quarterback. He's definitely a running back. As a professional NFL player, how do you not throw a football for a 5-yard pass? How do you not throw a football a little bit better than that?
It makes you wonder what it looked like in practice, because it had to look good, right? It had to be like, oh DJ can throw the ball like with consistency and like, oh boy, like, yeah, we're going to get them. The other piece for me was I didn't think DK was wildly open.
He was covered. He's open. If
it's DJ a great pass,
throws a great pass and he throws it high. But I think he lost the football. Does he have Kenny Pickett hands?
It's either Benny Davis eyes or Kenny Pickett hands, Brandon. I don't know which one, but DK wasn't, you know, explicitly wide open. So like the other piece of that is, dude, throw it away, you know,
run out
the ball
of bounds
and run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just whatever. Just doesn't matter. Live to play another day. Like, yes, it's your one opportunity. Yes. You've been working all preseason for this, and this is your chance. Cool. The thing to do was not throw that ball, period. Not because of the outcome, because DK wasn't open.
Well, and as Jack points out, if he throws it into the corner, if you can get it to the back corner, DK is open. But DJ didn't even get it to the goal line.
He didn't get to the goal line. He didn't get to the goal line. It was tough, right? So you had that. And we also, so that was rough because we saw some like wildcat out of that pistol where we had Walker.
That was some fun stuff down near the goal line with the different formation they were playing around with.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. At least interesting. And I don't mind that. And, you know, you make the mistake and that's okay. But then we also had a muff punt.
Right.
That was gigantic. And a guy that
I don't know if you can call it a muffed punt necessarily, because that implies that Tyler was the one who made the mistake on that. But I suppose you could give some blame to Tyler for the awareness of where his blockers are. But he's looking up in the air, you know, trying to field that. And then you have the defender, number 37, wearing Sean Alexander's number. Take that jersey off that man after this game.
Right now. I agree.
Right now.
I agree. And that was Crawford, right? So I know he's newer. And kudos to the Niners player. He did exactly what he should do.
It was a good Niners play.
Drove the dude right back into Tyler and disrupted it. It's just, you know, like I said, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. And I mean that in a very parental way, because it's very much like Denver last week. Like, oh, if only this and this and this and this, then we would have won. Yeah. So I don't want to go down the route of sounding like a whining Broncos fan. We lost 27-7. You know, it's a terrible looking score. I didn't feel like we got our butts whipped, but it doesn't matter.
I feel like we did when I look at the play on the offensive and defensive lines. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, especially we didn't run the ball and they ran the ball better than we did. But again, it got better. It did get better.
And the Snail comes in. Thanks for the membership too, Snail. I don't know if it was. This is not how I think Pete Carroll wants to run the offense, to be a passing team with Geno. I think the goal is to run the ball. It's just that there was no success to be had. And we saw Ken Walker in there in the second half trying to get some carries. I mean, he didn't have much success either. What was Walker's stat line at the end? He ended up with, why are his stats not even showing up on this page from NFL? I know he had carries.
He had stats there. They existed. It can't be more than four or five, right? I mean, I don't think, like, you know, rush attempts. And I can't imagine he went for over 20 something yards. In general, he was ineffective as well. And it wasn't his bad, that one wildcat snap. He looked good. He looked elusive. He did a couple of nice things. But we just, right now, we're not a good running team right now, because we can't block. We can't run block. So until that gets fixed, this is the kind of the fate. And I agree with you, by the way. I don't feel like we are trying to be a passing team. I just feel like we got down, 13-0, right? Because it was 6-0. They scored a touchdown. Then obviously then it's 20-0.
Right.
And at 13-0 on the road, you're going to start throwing the ball.
Well, especially when you're not having the success running up front. I mean, they were playing their safety, who had an outstanding game up near the line. You saw him in the backfield making multiple plays. Mm-hmm. So solid coaching on the 49ers side was to, hey, we're going to stack the box. We're going to make you beat us through the air. And even with a relatively efficient Geno, it couldn't be done. And Phil coming in with the stat line, Walker 4 for 10.
So I was like 5 for 20. So I was
also 2.5 yards a carry, just like Penny.
Yeah. So not great. So that's what I mean. And again, it's still a very young season and we got a long way to go here. So let's see what happens when we play some lesser defenses. You know, Atlanta came back nicely today. I almost made a game of it with the Rams. So that'll be interesting.
They had a shot at the end zone right at the end. And Jalen Ramsey, he jumped up over the top, came down with the football on a pass toward the end zone with 1 minute left. If Mariota, he threw it into, gosh, there are probably three guys there. And I think it was just kind of, hey, if we get lucky and just fit it right in there. If it were a little bit lower, I think they maybe have that pass there, but Rams get the win there. The Cardinals now going into overtime. I think I saw someone say that they won the toss. So could be a bad week. Could be all of us at 1-1 here in the division.
Yeah, it could level out right quick, and that's okay, right? It's again, it's not a. I know you didn't, and I didn't expect to go 17-0 this year. I did expect this game to be a lot more competitive, a lot more. I expected it to be a close game. I thought we'd win, to be honest, but I also thought it would be a much, much more competitive game. You know, I don't think there's much else to take away from this, except for the big things are what they are. They're extremely identifiable. The part that's hard is I'm not sure how quickly we could fix them. So I don't know how quickly we can become a good run blocking team right now.
I think it's possible because I think the biggest part of it is what other team are you going to go up against that has the kind of physical front seven that the 49ers do? So it's going to look different when you go and you take on the Falcons and some of these other teams that are coming up on the schedule.
It was better against the Broncos, and the Broncos have a decent, you know, decent defense, right? If not a you know, above average defense. So that's a fair point. That's fairly taken. So we'll roll into next week and we'll see what we got. And hey, you know, like, it's a start, right? And if we all looked at each other and said, hey, after two, we'll be 1-1. And I hate to rationalize things like that, but it's not a terrible way to look at things. But all right, we're 1-1.
Hey,
Gino's playing better than I thought he would.
Is playing better than we thought. And as Sojin says, it is something that, well, okay. We hadn't seen a whole lot of deep shots from Gino, but we did see the one completion on that pass to DK downfield. I would like to see more of that to make teams play, I think, the offense a little more honestly.
Short answer is absolutely agree. Just some of the dynamicism of what we saw last week in the first half offense, it just wasn't there, you know. And again, it wasn't because of completion percentage. That's not why. So, you know, we also a couple times still suffered from the 3rd and 12. Let's dump it to Kenneth Walker along the sideline. Like, why? What are we doing? And you know,
least the one play where you're thinking about that, I know, especially in a game like this where you did see those underthrown passes and the refs were calling the penalties on the right. I would have rather seen us put that in the playbook of go downfield deep and then and have Gino underthrow it a little bit. So that way when the receivers came back to the ball, Tyler had an outstanding day with 9 catches, 107 yards. I know for a fact that Tyler can pick up that penalty of where you send him deep and then and then have the dude run into him. That's Tyler's great at getting those penalties called.
Yeah, he's literally one of the best drawers of that penalty in the whole league, right? So I agree with you. Like, just to, you know, especially on a day when you're seeing the flags fly for that particular play, quote unquote, just do that. Run that play. And if it's picked, it's your whatever, you're throwing it down to the 10. If it's incomplete, so be it. You might catch it, and you might get the yellow laundry out there.
Jeremy Green coming in with $1.99 super chat. Where's Adam? I need more anger and negativity. Yes, Jeremy, we lost to the stupid, dirty 49ers. This stinks, especially when all the other teams in the NFC West fire Pete Carroll, put in Drew Locke on defense, who had a bad day. Quandre Diggs, get him out of there. He had too many negative plays. Who else? Who else do we need? We fired Crawford already for the special teams play. Jeremy, who else are we cutting?
We had some missed tackles too. Mike Jackson had a missed tackle, although he scored the touchdown right on the Tariq Woolen beautiful play. So, you know, Kobe got beat a little bit here and there. You know, I'm still very much, you know, sorry, Jeremy. I'm very much in the camp that I can't be mad at rookies for learning on the job. You know, I just like, I'm not going to get upset about Kobe Bryant getting a little burnt here or there. And again, some of those, he took a penalty where I'm like, really? Just again, ticky tacky things where I'm like, I don't think that was a penalty.
Oh my gosh. There were a couple of those moments where it showed the replay. And again, like you're saying, really? That's what we're calling?
Yeah, right.
There wasn't even like a jersey tug that I saw on the replay.
Oh, that was a horrible call. That one. Yeah. The guy's kind of coming across his face and put his hand on his shoulder for a second. And, you know, that might have been the one where it was like, you know, illegal use of hands downfield after 5 yards. Like, what is going on here? Like, is this flag football?
He let go at like 7 yards. Normally they give him a couple extra yards.
But also, it wasn't like he was like standing the dude up. The dude's running into him and across him. What are you supposed to be like, you know, the invisible woman and just be like, you know, metaphysically disappear so the guy could go through you? It's not how physics works, right? So, so some of that stuff was just so mind-boggling. And we talked about this in the preseason a lot, actually. We talked about like, hey, how many negative plays can we absorb in a game?
Right.
And you were, I think you had said like one or two, or like, you know, you said like five or four.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I'm at like one or two with this team. And we have to battle the fact that, you know, there's going to be some games like this where it's like the laundry is just against us and they're ticky-tacky to a 2022 NFL calls. And if they're just letting the guys play a little bit more, maybe they have a chance to get back in the game. But that's the modern NFL. And we cannot go down 13-0 and then battle that also, because we just don't have the talent right now. So,
all right. Well, one guy, well, we're talking about rookies. I do want to give some credit to our cornerback, Tariq Woolen, who,
yes,
he had a pretty good day at corner outside, but he also helped lead the team to the only points of the game, coming in, getting the block on the field goal attempt by the 49ers. Mike Jackson able to pick it up, run it in for the touchdown. And thank goodness, because of Tariq Woolen, we got points in this game.
Yes,
today.
Yes, we did. And we have to shout out once again the Oracle 2 weeks in a row, the Princetonian of parlays himself.
No, he said defense. He said defense would score.
Yeah, no, it's not
the same.
No, but he went back and checked the bet. The bet was defense or special teams.
No way.
Plus 800.
No
he
way.
Hit it again. So he hits another. That's Wilson Khan. We have the new gambling show, PNW Prop Stars. We kind of took a bunch of us took it on the chin this game, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, right? When you lose 27-7, and we're a bunch of homers, so we're gonna bet the way we bet. Yeah. But he did. He hit the plus 800, which was really nice. Yeah.
Jason Myers, while we're giving out credit, we can't say that the only points came from Tariq Woolen. Jason Myers nailed that extra point. He also gets credit. Seahawks, best kicker tandem in the league. Number one, baby.
Yeah, Dixon had more times today and was good. You know, so like that's, and I know it's like, okay, well, we lost by 20. So why are you talking about a punter? Well, because punters matter.
I just went negative for the sake of Jeremy. Now we have to counteract it with some positive. So we got Woolen in there. We got Jason Myers and red zone defense. Ryan's got them.
I mean, been great. Like, and at some point it's going to be less. And yes, Jimmy G gets that last, you know, one at the very end there and sneaks it in to get the 20-point lead. Sure. But they've been really good. Like they've been really good around the, you know, the 10-yard line. They call it the green zone. If you're a fantasy player, right? So the green zone in really, really strong. So there are plenty of fun green shoots here. So illusions of grandeur aside about what this year is or is not, I still had an okay time. You know, yeah. Like I had an okay time watching this team and like focusing on some things I think are really good and some areas that I'm like, man, we got to get better there. Otherwise, it's going to be a long season if we can't get better there.
Yeah. And really, that's what I think this season is going to be a lot of for us is, yeah, as much as we wanted to believe that Geno Smith would be the one to take us to the postseason and have this, big resurgence, Geno will probably be fine. And actually, he's played better than I expected. And like you mentioned,
been good
for the first 2 weeks of the season. So,
yeah,
I think we could have some fun games coming up.
Hey, we go play an 0-2 team next week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just go win. I mean, let's go win. Let's go. Let's go. And is that Atlanta's? Is that back in Seattle or is that Atlanta's
back
home
in
opener?
Seattle. Yeah.
That's in Seattle. Okay. Yeah. Go win the game. Just, and then you're 2-1. And who the heck knows what happens with, you know, at the very most, the rest of the NFC West will be 2-1. At the very most.
It's true. Okay. They can't win more than one game next week.
Not next week.
Just like us.
It's just math.
And I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.